Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo, world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the divine friend, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize, the place from where I make sense of all my endeavor, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Asheo and Ashe. I welcome you this Thursday, July 20th, 2017. I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potion, Tulu Central, Black Hawk. All is truly and indeed a blessing. I have a special message I want to share with you today. I'm going to be going to my phone lines at area code 347-215-8967. So if you do have a question, comment, or request, do press the number one. I'll be more than happy to open your mic and invite you in to this square circle of gods and goddesses where we come together in power, in ashe, in energy, in knowledge, and in truth. We do not do live personal readings on this show. So if you are interested in a reading, a personal and private reading, do send me a direct email to divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. You may also visit my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. I praise the Creator. I praise the God of heaven. I praise the God of worldly affairs, Ashe, so it be. I praise the God of today. I praise the child of God. Tomorrow is a child of God. Day after tomorrow is a child of God. My good fortune is the child of God. Ire mi omo olofin. My good fortune is the child of God, and so shall it be. Ashe, Asheo, Ashe. We always give honor and acknowledgement to the ancestors and the spirit, those who laid the foundation, those who come before, those who work in earnest in our effort, in our good, to promote health, wellness, balance, iwapele, purity of mind, integrity, honor. And today in the ritual cycle of things in not only voodoo, but Ifa and many of the West African-based traditional systems, we acknowledge, among other forces, the spirit or the god of iron. Ogun is one of the most powerful Orisha, both in Nigeria and across the Caribbean and into the Americas. Known as the god of hunting, iron, and warfare, Ogun is both a violent destroyer and a heroic leader who delivers strength and justice to society. Ogun kills on the right and destroys on the right. Ogun kills on the left and destroys on the left. Ogun kills suddenly in the house and suddenly in the field. Ogun kills the child with iron with which it plays. Ogun kills in silence. Ogun kills the thief and the owner of the stolen goods. Ogun kills the owner of the slave, and the slaves run away free. Ogun kills the owner of 30 Iwafa, and his money, wealth, and children disappear. Ogun kills the owner of the house and paints the hearth with his blood. Ogun is the death who pursues a child until it runs into the bush. Ogun is the needle that pricks at both ends Ogun has water, but he washes in blood. Ogun, do not fight me, I beg you. I belong only to you. Do not fight me. Do not cross me in the crossroads. The wife of Ogun is like a Temtem. She does not like two people to rest on her. Ogun has many gowns. He gives them all to the beggar. He gives one to the woodcock. The woodcock dies it indigo. He gives one to the coco. The coco dies it in camwood. He gives one to the cattle egret. The cattle egret leaves it white. Ogun is not like pounded yam. Do you think you can knead him in your hand and eat of him until you are satisfied? Ogun is not like maize gruel. Do you think you can knead him in your hand and eat of him until you are satisfied? Ogun is not like anything you can throw in your cap. Do you think you can put on your cap and walk away with Ogun? Ogun scatters his enemies. When the butterflies arrive at the place where the cheetah excretes, they scatter in all directions. The light shining on Ogun's face is not easy to behold. Ogun, let me not see the red of your eyes. Ogun sacrifices an elephant to his own head. Master of iron, head of warriors, Ogun, great chief of robbers, Ogun wears a bloody cap. Ogun has 400 wives and 1,400 children. Ogun, the fire that sweeps the forest. Ogun's laughter is no joke. Ogun eats 200 earthworms and does not vomit. Ogun is a crazy Orisa who still asks questions after 780 years. Whether I can reply or whether I cannot reply, Ogun, please don't ask me anything. The lion never allows anybody to play with his cub. Ogun would never allow his child to be punished. Ogun, do not reject me. Does a woman who spins ever reject a spindle? Does a woman who dies ever reject a cloth? Does the eye that sees ever reject a sight? Ogun, do not reject me. Ashe, ashe, oh, ashe. That is called a Riki to Ogun. There are many Rikis to all of the deities, the Orisha, the Lowa, if you will. They are sayings, poems, proverbs. There's no exact translation from that into English. But they speak of, empower the Orisha, the spirit, the deity. They teach us who they are. They reveal the many paths of a particular spirit. And all of that is symbolically suggested in the Oriki. Ogun is often seen in the New World as not only one of the patron saints of the African American. We talked, I believe, the last show about Babalu Oye, Santana being the Orisha or Lowa or deity saint, if you will, the archetypical saint, one of many that made Middle Passage and ingratiated itself into African culture here in America, in the Americas, North America, Central America, South America, from Candomblé to Santeria to Lakomi to New Orleans voodoo to hoodoo. You find Babalu Oye and you also find Ogu. Ogu is thought to lay the foundation. When we think of a new center of life, a new housing complex, a new shopping arena, we often clear the land, have the trees removed, have the weeds and herbs pulled up so that we can pour a foundation. We symbolically associate this power with Ogu. Ogu often does not speak in possession. Ogu will often grunt or speak in what we symbolically associate with very masculine, hard tones, the warrior spirit. We also see Ogun as the worker of iron. The worker of iron has an anvil, the hammer that pounds the metal into position, into place. The wrought iron that we often associate with New Orleans culture and Creole ironwork here is embedded with the spirit of Ogun. Many are questioning why I put that iron awning up on my Instagram page earlier today. Voodoo Chief the Divine Prince on Instagram. Voodoo Chief the Divine Prince on Instagram. My most recent photograph is of that Creole ironwork, and it is embedded with the power, the force, the energy that is indicative of Ogun. Ogun represents technology, and there were references to technology in the passage. And we now are communicating by way of technology. Our webcams, our laptops, our desktop computers, our cell phones, our smartphones, our social networking sites and pages. So Ogun is at the foundation of these traditions and is tied directly to technology, both ancient technology, ancient wisdom and understanding, but also modern technology, modern wisdom and understanding. Metaphorically, Ogun always represents building the foundation, following the appropriate steps. One comes before two, comes before three, comes before four. Geometrically, we often associate Ogun with the square or the cube, and there's a unique mathematical equation that is associated with that. We will often place Ogun, as we do ancestral shrine, in the corner of the house or the corner of the circle space. Again, suggesting that 190-degree angle, but also allowing the forces, the angelic forces that include the Orisha to enter into that space and empower not only our shrines and our implements, but our own thought processes when it comes to math, technology, the ordering of things. My initiate and I were discussing earlier today in the house the comparison that's often made with feng shui. If you're not familiar, feng shui is from the East, and it is the way that we order things in our physical space, where you put your couch or your bed versus your TV. There's also a imbuing of elements in feng shui. Balance in elements, earth, water, fire, air, and they also include mirrors in feng shui to not only direct light consciously where we might need it in our space, but to also present those doorways, those walkthroughs where the spirits can enter into our space. So we often will place Ogun in a corner, as we do ancestral shrine, in a corner, to reference the awareness of that magic, that equation. Ogun is the thinking work. We talked the other day about yim and yang being embedded in the motion, in the wave, in the sway of the hip, in the movement of Kofi era and martial arts defensive movement, dance movement, the movements of life. We associate, however, Ogun with the technology. So that involves a great deal of how we think, how we process, how we order our thoughts. It's why we're conscious of what we feed our minds, what we feed our spirit, what we listen to in terms of entertainment, what type of news we watch and digest. When we are active in these activities, I am one of the people who are guilty of sleeping with the TV and the computer on, often both of them at the same time. I'll vary the volume. I'm often conscious of what I put on before I will go to sleep. I won't allow live air TV to play. I'll play Hulu or something that I can pre-establish what's playing into my subconscious while I'm in that state. But it's something about my intuitive mechanisms. It's something about my creative mechanisms. I'm one of those people who cannot, spirit life comes open when I'm in that complete client. So I need to temper it by giving your left brain something to do. Your left brain is considered your intellectual, mechanical part of your brain, the part that counts, the part that remembers, the part that learns in a linear sort of way. Whereas your right brain is considered your intuitive part of your mind, where your spirit and emotion, where we think of free will and the ability to create and play around with ideas. So giving your intellectual side something to do, something to focus on, allows the spirit part to be free, to open up, to manifest itself. I am quickly running out of time. If you do have questions or comments, please feel free to press the number one on your telephone keypad. I will be more than happy to open your mic, bring you into this conversation as we continue to talk about revolutionary hoodoo, New Orleans hoodoo secrets and recipes here on Blog Talk Radio with the Divine Prince. But also as we continue our discussion about lineage, family, community. And again, there are many levels to that. There's the literal and the figurative. When we're talking about the religion, ATR, Lekome, Candomblé, Santeria, Palo, Hoodoo, Voodoo, and the like, there is a lineage embedded not only in the tradition itself, in the people who practice the tradition, but also within the stories and the makeup, if you will, of the deity, where they're from, where they come from, how their birth, how their operates are, who their partners are, how they work in concert. And so the elemental, metaphysical, quantum metaphysical science is often masked in the storytelling, often masked in the myths and symbolic representations that we associate with these spirits. Over the centuries, the intercultural exchanges between the voodoo cultures of West Africa and Yoruba, Ifa, Orisha, more specifically, is well documented. While the Yoruba have assimilated West African voodoo, such as Nana Baruku, Babaluoye, Oshubare, and several others, into their Orisha pantheon, the Dahomey and other West African voodoo cultures have incorporated the Yoruba Orisha of Ogu, known as Gu, into their tradition. Due more to the lack of time and the abundance of written material already available on the Yoruba tradition. And as I've said in many shows, the Yoruba are the most prolific. They have the most books. They've done the most writing in New World terms. You can Google Yoruba tradition much easier than Fon, Akan, Dahomey, Iwe. So often I will teach and many others will teach from the perspective of Yoruba, but might be committed to another path or another tradition. It makes teaching the next tradition easier if you can understand the basics. If we can all communicate and speak clear English, and clear English is relative, you know, are we speaking Ebonics? Are we speaking a dialect specific to New York or Louisiana? But are we all speaking a language that we can all understand, can all make sense of? And that's why I often attempt, and sometimes over attempt, to repeat things, restate things in more than one way in order to allow for a clear understanding. If you read the traditional religious literature of Africa closely, you will discover that there is very ancient, widespread, and cross-cultural reference to the spirit of iron, no matter what that ethnic group or that particular culture calls it linguistically. In Yoruba, this spirit is called Ogun. North of Nigeria, you will sometimes find the spirit of iron called Ogu. And when we say north of Nigeria, we are often referencing some of these other ethnic groups that we now classify as voodoo ethnic groups. But there's a clear intermixing, intra relationship, as I've already demonstrated in the conversation, between Yoruba, we can almost look at Yoruba as being sort of Orthodox and Voodoo being a little bit more evangelical, a little bit more Southern Baptist. We see Yoruba as being very organized, very structured, but we often open our mind to accept a more fluid flow of spirit in Voodoo. And that is a reality in practice, just as it is in a reality or should be in these so-called sanctified holiness doctrine, spiritualist churches, but it's often bound by humanity, how we feel about it, how we think about it, what our knowledge is about it, how we operate in it. If we take the creation myth of Ifa, for instance, Obatala climbs down the chain from heaven to earth. We symbolize chain with Ogu. In my belief, the chain is symbolic of the double helix, the DNA structure used to store our genes and our coded information. The journey from heaven to earth is a reference to the emergence of hidden or latent potential into manifest reality. When you are in the womb, you have invisible potential as a child. And after you are born, the potential becomes visible or manifest. Of course, we have new scientific tests that can see in the womb and map the progress, but again, technology belongs to Ogu. Ifa is very clear that the womb is the passageway between heaven and earth. It is the doorway that allows for reincarnation. In mythological language, the manifestation of any hidden or latent potential is described symbolically by Ifa as the journey from heaven to earth. More correctly, it is the journey from Ikole Orun to Ikole Aye. Ikole Orun means greeting the house of the invisible realm. Ikole Aye, A-I-Y-E, means greeting the house of the earth. When Yorubas are speaking of Aye, they are speaking of the crust around the surface of the earth, not the whole earth. The word for the entire earth is Onilie, O-N-I-L-E. So Aye becomes the meeting place between the visible and the invisible. Hence why we often will utilize the mirror. Be clear that the Ifa concept of heaven is much closer to what physics calls the fifth dimension. It is something that exists all around us. It is easier to understand as a different vibration of light, a different dimensional time, a multi-dimensional intra-dimensional time space reality. The spectrum of light is very long, and as humans can only see a small band of light in the middle of the total range of frequencies available, it is in this realm, this invisible dimensional space, that the Loa, that the deities, that are, but it is in no less real, no less a reality, no less a part of our waking awareness of reality than what we make it. I'm going to go to my phone lines before I completely run out of time. Divine All Blessed Alafia, Joshua, I just opened your mic. I'm going to go to area code 504. Who's calling and what part of the city are you calling from? 504, hello. Are you with me? Your hand is raised. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hello.
Is hey, this Chris? Your mic is open? Yes.
Yes, it is.
I recognize your mic is open.
All right, enjoying the knowledge that you're sharing.
I can hear you, beloved.
I said, I'm enjoying the knowledge that you're sharing. Hello? Hello? Hello?
hear me, beloved?
Hello, okay. I can hear you now.
Okay. We're having just a little bit of technological difficulties. Welcome, Donatus King, to the show. For those of you who've been following me for the last few days, those of you who follow me on YouTube, this is Donatus King. He is the host of the message that has been airing on Thursday night on local New Orleans cable television, NOA-TV, here in this beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Brother Joshua and I have been guests on his show for the last 3 weeks, and we welcome Donatus now live here on our show. And we certainly do appreciate you, beloved.
All right, my brother, I was listening to the knowledge you were sharing, and it's one of the things that you were speaking about as far as trying to get some understanding across. And sometimes that understanding, that knowledge being obscured or obfuscated, and that just kind of brings me back to something where somebody wrote about that thousands of years ago, when it was stated that at one point in time, all men understood each other. And because they understood each other, they were able to share knowledge and achieve great things. And at that time, it was determined that they were going a little bit too fast and accomplishing a little bit too much. So their language was confused. They were scattered about the earth. One of the things that I'm starting to feel right now is that folks are starting to understand each other just a little bit more. And I'm really excited about this acceleration of sharing of knowledge, the things that are about to be accomplished.
Well, we certainly are going to be there. I certainly do appreciate you. I'm getting a great deal of feedback from your phone. You're probably in motion. We appreciate your calling in. Also, our show ended live a few moments ago, and we're now in archive. So this will be in archive. People will still be able to hear the conversation. Brother Joshua, please join us if you have questions, comments, something you want to say. We invite you also into these last 5 minutes or so of the show. Are you with me, Brother Joshua?
I am. Good evening. Good evening, Donatus King, and
how you doing,
King, also Divine Prince. All is a blessing. Yes. I'm doing well. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to, today's a great day. I know you was talking earlier, Ty, about the Ogu and about the family and the foundation that the Ogu represents and that he lays and that he puts forward. I couldn't help to think about and to think back to the shows that we had during Kwanzaa and about the actual principles and how they was formatted in a specific way. And that made me think of Ogu, and it made me pull back to that time when we actually were speaking of the laying the foundation and laying the mat and going forward in your practice for Kwanzaa, which is symbolic in the practice of going forth as an individual and also as a community into growing to a better, not so much lifestyle, but a better community and a greater community. So.
I absolutely agree. I think Donatus would also agree with me that without a foundation, a strong foundation of some kind, it's difficult for man or woman, for humanity to move forward with any amount of clarity. And it doesn't mean that we don't tweak it every now and then, that we don't go back and reassess our plan or our foundation and then rebuild. Even structurally here, when we think of New Orleans and the amount of water and moisture that we have to reevaluate the foundation of our homes every few years, every amount of time, every particular season, to ensure that we still have a solid foundation. So we have to readdress how we're being sort of organized mentally. And we get that through religion. We get that through education. We get that through the pop cultural references and information that we receive and take into our spirits every single day through newspaper and TV and advertisements and media. And we have to readdress the foundation upon which we individually work from, but then also culturally work from. And we've had an ongoing discussion on the message, which we will pick up again, by the way, first on Monday of next week. Donatus King has sort of penciled in that he's going to join us here for a full show. So we'll probably do a slightly longer show so that we could talk about things in a little bit more depth, talk about some much deeper complex issues. But it will be sort of a segue to prelude to my return to the message on NOA TV next Thursday evening at 7:30. Donatus also broadcasts live from Facebook Live. And so you should go to Donatus King's page right now and befriend him, follow him, so that you know where he is and you can sort of keep up with our promotions and our advertisements for the show. His name is spelled D like David, A, N like Nancy, A, T like Tom, U, S like Sam, Donatus King on Facebook. And click like, click follow, click befriend, and we look forward to you joining the continued conversation. This is sort of a experiment, a social experiment, if you will, to bring generations together, to bridge the age gap, to bridge the cultural gap that exists not only among us individually, myself and Donatus King and Joshua Tanner and the individuals who frequently participate in both of our shows, but also to have some formal public discussion at the community level, at the grassroots level, about how we can move forward in the complex discussion of spirituality and religion. And what that means, particularly in the Black community, particularly to us, particularly to former church members, present church members, and the like. We have to find a medium that we can come together 360 degrees and look at all sides, inward and outward, of these topics so that we can find some balance, some healing in our community. I hate to rush forward, Donatus. Joshua knows what I'm getting ready to say. This channel will cut us off automatically, momentarily. So I'm going to have to end the show. We certainly appreciate you coming and sharing with us. I end my show with a little piece from Congo Square. It's called Congo Square. Our beloved brother, Kalamu Ya Salam, created this piece, and then it was put to the music produced by Congo Square Preservation Society and Luther Gray and many others in Congo Square at 2 p.m. on Sunday. So please, if you've never heard this before, Donatus, as well as my other listeners, I want you to listen and enjoy Congo Square.
Congo Square. The Omas Indians. The Omas Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omas Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omas Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow, persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated, retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate, a world heralded by the beat, be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart beat, heart beat, heart be at this place, at this place. Be heart beat, be we beating place in new world space, beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal, be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget, even when we can't remember the specifics. We must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget, even when we can't remember the specifics. We must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate, whip out of us.
Whoa.
But no matter,